Here we go, Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and shew us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. And I want to call your attention to the sovereignty of God here in the first verse. The Lord that created thee. We don't believe in evolution, do we? No. And the dealings of God. When thou passest through the waters, it doesn't say if you will, it says when you do. And when you walk through the fire, you're going to go through the fire and the water. The dealings of God. God will save us though. Notice the possession of God in the first verse. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. In other words, we're not our own. We're not created to have a good time. We're God's possession. If we're called by God's name, we're God's possession. Notice the expendability of the world. Verse 3, I gave Egypt for your ransom. Egypt was expendable just to teach God's people a lesson. I gave Ethiopia and Seba for thee, expendable nations, expendable people, expendable to God's purpose. That rubs against us the wrong way in a democratic society, doesn't it? We don't like to think of one nation being expendable for another. We might reject that. We might say, I won't live with that. Well, our nation is one of rebellion. We've been taught rebellion. But the Bible says, I did it. Verse 4, I have loved thee. I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Expendability of humans. This world, great, 5 billion, 4.5 billion people in the world. Well, what does it all mean? And then in verse 7, everyone that is called by my name. Are you called by the name of the Lord today? Huh? Why are you here? How come you're not somewhere else in Poway? Just waking up, reading the funnies, preparing to go fishing this afternoon. What are you doing in here? You're here because of something in your life that is different from the great majority of people who are not concerned with God. You see, you're not the same as everyone else. Being a saint, it's a full-time business. It's a calling. And this is where God is describing that. I have formed him. I have made him. Bring forth the blind people. That is to say, we're not as cunning and as wise and as knowledgeable as people of the world. And we're not supposed to be. We're not supposed to be. We're not to match the world. We're not to match wits, energy, talent, or ability with the world. That's not our calling. We're called to something else. We're not called to be better than the world. That's a false teaching that teaches that we bear witness for Jesus by winning the ball game. That's not how we bear witness for Jesus. That shows that we've got smarter, better ball players, but it doesn't show anything about God. I have formed him, I have made him. The blind people, that's us. We have eyes to see where? God. God. The world can't see God today. Let the nations be assembled, let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Let them bring forth their witnesses. That is the people of the world. Let them do, let them show us what the meaning of life is. Let them hear and say it is true. You are my witnesses. You are my witnesses. That's why you were born. That's why God is dealing with you. If God's hand is on you, your life will be different from all other people. Not intentionally. You may fight it. You may want to be like other people. You may say, why am I being dealt with in this way? How come other people can do this and get away with it and do that and get away with it and so on, but I'm going to the fire. I try to do good, but my life goes askew. How come I can't have fun like other people? What's going on? Well, God didn't say you were other people. God didn't say you were like other people. God didn't say you were called to be anything in the world. God has something else, another reason why he created you. Another reason why he brought you forth out of the womb and gave you breath. He called you to be a witness. That's your purpose in life. Everything else is secondary. You're a witness because God is inscrutable. Because God cannot be seen. Because God is hidden. And there's no way anyone can know him except as he bears witness of his person. And that's why you were born and brought into the world. Not for any other reason. Not to make money. Not to have fun. Not to bear children. All of these things are secondary. If you're part of Isaiah 43, you were created and brought into the world for one purpose and one alone. And that is to bear witness of God. Who he is, what he says, and what he does. And if you do not, if you have been called to this and do not flow with it, you will waste your life. Everyone isn't called the same. You can't lay that on anyone else. You can't go to somebody living at someplace else, even in your own town, and say, what's the matter with you? How come you're not serving God? You can't do that. Maybe he didn't call them. He called you. See your calling, brethren, how that not many mighty are called, not many noble. He called you. You say, I don't like it. That's your problem. Not mine. That's between you and God. If God called you to be a piano player, you're a piano player. If God called you whatever it to be. But if God called you into the body of Christ, he called you for one reason. To be his witness. Not to tell other people what you think about God. But to be what he is going to make you. And that's why you're going to go through the water and through the fire, because we can't choose to be a witness on our own term. any more than we can choose to be born or choose anything else. God's witnesses eventually come to the cross, to the place of weakness, to the place of, you can call it giving up if you want to, a better term for it is committal. In all our life, we hassle the question, shall I just let go and be God's witness? Or shall I try to help God out? Or shall I try to make something on the side? Like Jeremiah said to, God spoke through Jeremiah to his scribe. What was his name? Was it Baruch? He says, Baruch, quit seeking great things for yourself. I'm giving you your life for a prey. That's enough. See, Baruch was going to make a little on the side. You know, Jeremiah had a franchise on Jeremiah. He was the one that copied down Jeremiah's words. He's going to make a little something on the side. And God spoke through Jeremiah and says, Baruch, don't seek great things for yourself. I've given you your life for a prey. So, the 43rd chapter shows us what it means to be called as a witness. And in a sense, everyone is God's witness, but they progress out from His presence. And when we turn to Genesis, the first chapter, we find that the reason that God created man was for a witness. And in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image. Now, why would God make man in His image? Why didn't He make man different from Himself? Why did He make man with a body, a soul, and a spirit like God? To reveal God. See, He made man in His image to show the creation what God is like. To be a witness. To express Himself. To multiply Himself. You see, you cannot see God. God is in the light, it says in 1 Timothy 6:16, which no man can approach unto. You go into there presumptuously, you'll be smitten. God is hidden. God is not revealed. We cannot comprehend God. We cannot grasp God. Even the angels cannot grasp God. You remember in 1 Timothy 3:16 it says God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels. God is a mystery. That's why it says, verily thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel. God is a secret. God is a mystery. God is not revealed. The world cannot know God. They cannot find God by education. They cannot climb into His presence. They would if they could. They cannot seize Him. They cannot command Him. They cannot in any way contact Him. That's why it says, seek the Lord, because He's hidden. Maybe we don't like that. Say, I'll get you, God. I'll bring you down to my terms. That's the purpose of education. It's the purpose of money. It's the purpose of the pursuit of the world, is to lay hold on God. Let us make a tower that reaches to heaven. God will not be approached. He reveals Himself unilaterally, sovereignly, on His own term, and in no other way. Praise the Lord. So He says, I will call whom I will call, and I will choose you, and you will be my witness. And we fight it tooth and toenail, because it interferes with our plans. And we don't understand it. And who wants to deal with a God you can't understand, who says, be weak, and then I'll reveal myself when you can't do anything. And so God made man in His image and after His likeness. That is, when you see man, even unsaved man, you can at least see the form of God, and you can see that God is body, soul, and spirit. Now, the heathen religions will not accept this, and so they make a cow. They make a bronze cow, or a bird, or a totem of some kind, or a hideous mask, or something with many, many legs and many, many arms. This is demon worship. You get into this. But God said, I'm not in that likeness. You look at man. That is what I am like. to the beginning of the revelation of God as man. Let us make man after our image, after our likeness. And then God backs up. He doesn't tell you everything. He does something in your life and doesn't explain it. And then we waste maybe 5 years trying to interpret it and hold it. I hope it means this. Maybe it'll mean that and this and that. What do you think it means? And God backs up because he's not going to tell you what it means because he's hidden. And he prefers to stay that way. He is God. He can't be measured. He does it this way deliberately so that we cannot approach his glory. Praise the Lord. So he says, let us make man in our image. And then mankind runs around for 6,000 years trying to get the meaning of this. What does it mean? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to have peace or war or eat or what? Got it, David? And then he says, let them have dominion. And we insist on being ruled by food, or cigarettes, or whatever. And God doesn't say anything. He says, let them have dominion. He doesn't tell us how. He backs off. And then he says, let them... and then he goes on and he says, he made them male and female. That is, he made us dependent. And he made part of mankind male. Because God is male. God is the great male. He has strength, rulership, decision, and lordship. And he made the other half of mankind female. Because God is also beautiful, and poetic, and lovely, and desirable. And what are we doing in our civilization? Trying to make the women men. The woman wants to be masculine. There's a rule. I want to be ruled. I'm going to rule. You know what a woman ought to be? A woman. Poetic, lovely, beautiful, and desirable. You know what a man ought to be? Masculine. A ruler. Decisive. And I say, if a woman wants to be a ruler and decisive, let her be a man. Look like a man. Dress like a man. Cut her hair like a man. If a man wants to be a woman, let him do the same. You see how Satan works? Destroy everything. A woman shows forth God in her way. She shows forth a quality of God that a man doesn't have. If a man is beautiful and desirable, you begin to wonder, don't you? Yeah? The man is not without the woman in the Lord, and the woman is not without the man in the Lord, because together they make the ability to multiply and to have dominion. My witnesses, the hidden God says, whom I have chosen. And so we have young people and young working people in our midst. And let me say this. You know, when you're a young person or when you're in your 20s or 30s and you're still ambitious, there is out there, isn't there, a kind of a horizon of attainment, whether it be in wealth or whether it be in prestige or status or accomplishment. There's something that drives us on. Let me tell you something. It's all a facade. The sooner that you and I are willing to learn that God created us in His image so that we could reveal Him. Not any other purpose, but to reveal Him, to show His glory. He created us male and female because we're dependent. We're not complete without God. And we're not complete without one another. And He made us to be fruitful, to multiply in His way, and to have dominion, not to be ruled by demon or environment or our own lust. The sooner we are willing to go God's way, the sooner we find peace. Because there's no peace outside of that. Some people never learn it. Men die counting their gold coins and their stocks and bonds and worrying about the interest. They never discovered the reason why they were created. Never discovered it. Others may discover it at a very early age. I'm here to glorify God. And whether I'm poor or rich doesn't matter anything. Just so long as God's will is done. And they're the truly happy people and the only happy people. The rest of the people are following a phantom. And believe me, you'll never get it. Because it's not real. And it's not in accordance with what God said. He said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness. Let them be male and female. Let them be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. All right, but that's not a complete revelation of God. We also have within ourselves the hope for a better world and of things to come. And every person testifies of this in one way or another. And so we find the two great testimonies. Now, the first one I want to point to is in Isaiah 14. Every one of us have this locked into our heart, this desire to testify and to be fruitful and to have dominion and to reveal the hidden God. We have that, and we'll do it one way or another. We'll show forth what is coming, and we'll show forth the hidden God, because that's the way we're made. And so in Isaiah 14, we find in verse 12 something that it says about Satan. Isaiah 14:12. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? Now, the word Lucifer does not belong in the text at all. The word Lucifer is a Latin proper name, proper noun, and apparently it does not appear in the Hebrew text. What the Hebrew says is day star or morning star. So, Satan is called here the morning star or the day star. It should read like this, how art thou fallen from heaven, O day star? Now, what does a day star do? Does anyone know? What does a day star do? Huh? It arises in the darkness and does what? It speaks of the light which is coming, doesn't it? It arises in the darkness and speaks of the day that is coming. So Lucifer is termed in the scripture the day star. The day star. And that interests me enormously. Praise the Lord. But I begin to say, I say, God, I don't understand that. Why would you call Satan the bright and morning star? But the morning star announces the day that is to come. Okay, then we turn over to Revelation chapter 22. And we find here verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The same thing that Satan is called. Both Jesus and Satan are called the morning star. They're both in the scripture called that which will herald the day. And so here God remains hidden, invisible. And we have the world that in all of its goings and everything is saying something. And everyone in his life says something. You're here for a purpose. I'm here for a purpose. And we're saying something. Young people, I think of them because you have your life before you. You're going to put a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of work into education, into pursuing things. But let me ask you a question. Of what are you bearing witness? What are you saying about God? What are you testifying of God? God cannot be seen or grasped by mankind. And so he has let loose in the world these two lights, these two revelations. And which one is God? Which one bears the true witness of God? And you will give your life bearing witness one way or the other. What are you saying about God today? What are you saying about God in your home? What are you revealing about God on the job? Now, human beings, we testify of God in three ways. In three ways. We testify about God in what we are. Ye are my witnesses. We testify about God by what we are. Now, the testimony of Satan and that he implants in the world and says is desirable, and most of us, even us Christians, sit in front of the TV, and what do we watch about the meaning of work, of the life, of life? Lust, violence, money, and we assent to it, and we ascribe to it. You know what we're watching? We're watching Satan's testimony as to what is right, and what is significant, and what is meaningful, and what we're going to give our lives to. You try to talk to people and say, well, you should give up drinking beer, or you should give up rock and roll, or you should give up your adultery and the fornication. Why should I? I'm finding happiness in that. In other words, I feel that man was created for this. This is the meaning of everything, is that I should go fornicate, or I should drink. All right? See, you're saying something about the meaning of things. And what you are. You can talk about Christ till you're blue in the face. People are not impressed with religion. It is a religion. Religion, more often than not, bears a false witness. God is hidden. He's mysterious. We can't find him in religion. Religion bears a false witness. It builds a great building and it says, God is impressed with a great structure. God is impressed with a steeple. God is impressed with an organ. That's what we're saying. That's a false witness. God remains hidden. What you are is what you're saying. Are you love or hate? Joy or gloom? Peace or impatience? Peace or... are you a commotion? Many, many Christian families are uproars. Absolute uproar. You know what you're testifying? That God is an uproar. See, you're made in God's image. You're showing to the creation, to angels that can't see God, what God is like. Because you cannot approach unto God. The angels, he dwells in the light which no man can approach unto. He charges his angels with folly. He is hidden. And no one can see him except in you. And if you show forth an uproar, then the world says God is an uproar. If you show forth stinginess, then that's the revelation of God. You say, well, they should know better. How? Brother, sister, God wishes to be revealed in the flesh. The word, the testimony is made flesh. You talk. We testify of God by what we are, and secondly, by what we say. Not what we say just about the testimony or our thoughts about God or religion, but what the Spirit of God directs us to say if the Lord is in us. You know, the Apostle John in the first epistle
says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. But you see, the Holy Spirit governed what John said about the testimony. I don't know if you see, that's a little tricky. The testimony isn't what we say about the testimony. It's as God empowers us to bear witness and guides what we say. You remember, the apostles had been trained of Christ for 3 years. They knew a great deal. The parables had been explained to them. They could have gone out and set up a Bible school, the end all Bible school. The 11 Apostle Bible School. Really? Let me tell you what we learned in 3 years. Jesus said, stay put. Ye shall receive power. Not just so that the ministry would be corroborated with miracles, but because you cannot testify about the testimony. The testimony itself will testify. God has given us the Spirit. He says, think not what you shall say in that hour. It shall be the Spirit of your Father. There's nothing of flesh in the testimony. It is totally divine. God will only testify. The hidden God speaks from His throne. And the Spirit of God speaks through the lips of clay. That's the only testimony. Not theology. Theology produces death and division. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle. Because we cannot describe the hidden God. We haven't seen Him. We're almost bound to describe Him incorrectly. All He asks of us is to be crucified. To submit to His dealing. So that we don't pollute the testimony with man. The third thing of the testimony is what we do. Not only how we behave ourselves morally, but in power over the environment, signs and wonders. We Christians are not to be bound by nature. If we get in the place where we're not building tabernacles, God will give us the power to walk on the water. We're supposed to rule this environment. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Satan teaches us how the world should be. You know, you would think that Satan would not preach righteousness, but he does. You won't find a person doing wickedly that doesn't try to justify it. You know, the communists will go into a country and they'll do every kind of thievery, murder, ruin the country, do every dastardly, ungodly thing, and then try to go to the UN and show that it's legal. Now, why do they attempt to show that it is legal? Not because they feel by legality that they can achieve anything. It's that no one wants to be called wicked. Not even the devil. You know what the first thing the devil will say about the work of Jesus Christ? You know the first thing that Satan will say about the work of Jesus? It's of the devil. You know why? Because he's showing himself that he is the morning star. He is the revelation of the invisible God. He is right. The communists, you remember that great speech that Khrushchev made some years ago? He preached for something like 6 hours, and the sun broke through the window there in the Kremlin, and the light came streaming through. He said, see, nature is on our side. Everybody wants to show that they have the right words of hope that will bring utopia and millennium. You are saying something by your life. It's inescapable. Because there's only two morning stars. You're not a third. You'll be one or the other. You'll be a herald of the day and a lie. Your life will be a lie. It will testify a lie. You will go through life. If you know anyone that goes through life that's saying, I want to be demon-possessed, I want to show forth destruction, everybody believes he's revealing the truth. That you'll be the worst scoundrel you ever saw. He believes he's revealing the truth. Nobody wants to wear the black hat. I'm sure that the crooks look at the television and empathize with the police. They want to be the good guy. Nobody wants to be the bad guy. Praise the Lord. Now, there are three ways in which Satan testifies as a day star to you and me of the right way. The first is by sin. He tries to make you and me believe that life is not worthwhile unless we can fornicate or exercise violence or pursue covetousness or gossip or drink. Isn't that right? People wouldn't drink and they wouldn't do these things if they didn't. You know, I said many a time, the reason that people do not get delivered from things is because they do not want to. You can talk till the cows come home. It falls on my deaf ears because I know better. Anybody can get delivered of anything that he wants to when he wants to. The thing is, we have ambivalence in our nature. We want to, but we don't want to. Okay? And we say, oh, if I could only get delivered. And we go to this. Sometimes that's true of sickness. So, you know, a person can get a lot of mileage out of sickness. Do you know that? A lot of mileage. We even have ambivalence about sickness. That's right. Because, say, you can really... I'm not saying if you're sick this morning, you want to be sick. Don't misunderstand me. It's bad enough to be sick without somebody saying that you like it. That isn't always true. But I want you to see the subtlety of human nature. Many times when people are not delivered, it's because they don't want to be delivered. It's because there's complex things going on within their personality. Not always. Sometimes it's an out-and-out bondage and we're in affliction and we just have to pray till God releases us. It's as simple as that. But when a person doesn't want to get released from a moral sin, it's because when they don't get released, it's very often, if you search your nature, it's because you don't really want to. And if you don't really want to, it's because you're not persuaded it's wrong. You know? You say, oh, I wish I'd get the victory over my temper. I wish I'd get the victory. I've got a bad temper. Oh, pray for me. I get the victory over my temper. You don't have to be prayed for. All you have to do is just say to that thing, I know this is an ungodly spirit from the depths of hell and it's going to be forever in the lake of fire. Now you quit your swear. You look very sober. Praise the Lord. That's right. The imperfections in our nature will gradually begin to go when we decide that's what we want. Praise the Lord. But you see, we're not that persuaded. And so Satan testifies, sin is the way to go. It's all right to be partly righteous, but there's this thing that other people may have to give up. But for you, it's a special dispensation. Okay? The next way in which we bear a false witness is by which what we say. And a lot of this, you know, it speaks of the false prophet. But I would like to call that religious delusion. Much that is spoken of in churches and religion is not true. We have a tendency to build Babel or Babel. In other words, we're trying to make something according to the image that we have of what religion should be. It doesn't touch the ego. See, the ego loves to be religious and cleanse the personality. Again, we're very complex. So Satan has a false prophet. He always has working some kind of false religion so that we're not really attacking the ego or really attacking our sins. See, we preserve that right to be what we are and say what we wish. And many times all our words do is protect number one so that religion doesn't run that deep. I like to think of our personality as like a cavern in which there's a great giant garden that's full of bats and creeping things. You see, the light of the gospel comes in. It shows up those bats and creeping things. You know what happens to the giant? He keeps retreating. And then he says, oh, and then he becomes religious. And he says, isn't this wonderful? I'm getting my cavern cleaned up. You know, and this goes on maybe for 10, 15 years. You know who that giant is? A self. And then the Lord, when it's time, he just throws out a lasso around old self and he ties him up and he comes up and he stands in front of him and he says, well, I've dealt with sin in your life for a long time. Now I'm going to deal with you. Brother, that part of the witness of God, we would much prefer to bear testimony rather than be a testimony. Much preferred. And in what we are. And this, of course, is... Who's the third member of the bad Trinity?
you know? Antichrist, Antichrist, is the third member of the wrong day star.
And what is that in our personality?
If this is sin, and this is religious delusion of which the world is filled, what is that?
Now this is a day star. This says something about the hidden God.
Right here.
That says something about the hidden God. So it's just as simple as that. God cannot be seen. He cannot be found out. He cannot be comprehended by education. And so Satan was called the day star and says, I will herald the morning. I will show you what God is like. And he said, just worship me and everything will be yours. Happiness, the world, dominion. He showed Christ the dominion, religious delusion, jump off the cliff. It's all yours. And that's where we are. You and I, you can't get away from it. You're either in the wrong day star or the right day star. And you know we can spend our whole life with the wrong day star. We can go to church. We can testify about Jesus. And what's wrong with us? Yes, man is on the throne. We've got religious things which are a delusion. And we're still sinning. And we talk about bearing witness. We're bearing witness, all right. What does the world have to say about God? What does it have to say about God in America? He's as phony as a $3 bill. And he isn't worth following. Right or wrong? Huh? Well, what's the nation doing? What is America doing today? The church has borne witness in it for 250 years. Where is the national energy and wisdom and education and politics? What is it doing? Following sin, following self-will, and full of religion. And it's a false witness of the invisible God. Ye are my witnesses, whom I have chosen. We have a nation full of churches. And what are they saying with the steeples and the organs and the rogue choirs and all the rest of it? I'm not running them down. I'm trying to explain what God wants. Because we are coming into chaos and catastrophe in the world. I marvel that the football games and the baseball games can go on side by side with world news, that anyone that knows anything can see what's coming. Our nation should be arming to the teeth. I can't touch it. I told Audrey, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd go crazy. You can see what's going on. It's like somebody just digging a ditch under their feet. We're behind, beside, and off the beam, and every general in the army is saying the same thing. It's criminal negligence. But the football game goes on. Baseball game. Just like, it just reminds you of Athens when they're having there. The Spartans are all surrounding them. Here they're going on. Well, the Spartans are at the gate. Well, let the play finish. They're having a play. Wait until the play's over. That's what's going on. We can wish, we can think. My recommendation is, because we can't run the government, what we better do is get close to God. Because we have a false understanding of the hidden God. We haven't had a true witness of His person, of what He's saying, and of what He's doing. And we don't know, because nobody has told us or shown us. We suppose He's like the churches. That's all we know. That's all we've had. But it's a false witness. There's another day star. There's another herald of the morning. And His name is Jesus. Now, Jesus is the faithful and true witness. Satan is bearing a false witness. He's saying, if you want to be happy, if you want to be like God, then don't listen to anyone preaching like that. You can go out and have a good time. Oh, you can go in and the gospel will make you prosperous. You can have a good time. Why can't you be like others? That's a false witness. It's religious delusion. It's not coming from the throne. Jesus Christ is the faithful. See, witness involves being faithful. And we're unfaithful in this way, saints. God gives us a witness to do, but we become so occupied like Baruch with what's in it for us that the witness gets sidetracked. We don't hang on the cross long enough for God to do His will because we're in it for what's in it for us. Baruch, seek not great things for thyself. The testimony isn't supposed to make us anything. It isn't supposed to make us unhappy or happy or full of pain or anything else. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to be a faithful portrayal of the invisible God. That is the entire purpose of the Christian church. Jesus Christ says, I am the bright and morning star. I herald the true day of God. And you know, then we can say, all right, I assent to that, Brother Thompson. I can see that you can't sin. And so I'll quit my sinning, and I can see that you can't do your self-will, and so I'll try to, with my own will, to confirm my own will. I'll try to do those things. No, you can't. You can't bear witness of the morning star. Do you know what you do with the morning star? How many know what you do with the morning star? What do you do with the morning star? Yeah, let it rise. You find in Revelation chapter 2, verse 28, to the overcomer, we overcome these three things, sin, self, and religious delusion, and because that's the only problem there is in the world. There are no other problems other than sin, self, and religious delusion. I will what? Give him. In other words, the testimony has to come from Jesus. We can't testify. Only Jesus can testify. I will give him. It has to be given to us to bear witness. All we can do is wait and read the Bible. And then we find in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather, concerning this day star, this morning star, this witness of the day of God, in 2 Peter, speaking of the Holy Scriptures, 2 Peter 1:19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, more sure than the voice from the cloud on the Mount of Transfiguration. We have something more sure even than the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice that we heard. In other words, he's referring here to the writings of the prophets. He's referring to the Old Testament writings. Yeah, because it's in writing. Anything legal in writing, that's binding. And the Old Testament is a legal document. It's in writing. It cannot be changed. And this is what Peter's saying. We have something more sure than a voice of God from heaven. We have the Scriptures. Because he goes on then and talks about, verse 20, no prophecy of the Scripture. We have a more sure word of prophecy, the Scriptures, and we read it because it's the testimony of God. See, the Scriptures tell us truly of God. It's a true life. The Ten Commandments are a true revelation of God. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt honor the Lord. Thou shalt have no other God. That is a true testimony of the invisible God. That's what He's like. That came out of the darkness. Come out of the thick darkness on Sinai. A light that no man can approach unto, but swaddled in darkness. God said to Moses, you cannot see my face. You can see me after I pass by. You can see the results of my passing. But no man can see my face and live. But I'll tell you this. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor. That's a true witness. And Peter is saying that you take heed to that and read that, because that you can rely upon. It's more sure than voices from heaven until something happens. What is that?
Right. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, you and I are coming in at the end of the church age. And Jesus said, many that are last shall be first. Of all, and I won't go into the symbolism of the tabernacle and all these other things because we all know it well, but just let me say this. Everything that God has done to this point is to bring into being the Feast of Tabernacles. When this comes into being,
Jesus Christ and the Father will enter into the church and take up their abode in the church. Then what the church then will say, he that has seen me has seen Christ. There'll be nothing that the church is doing or showing or putting on a program. They will just simply be the revelation of who God is. God will never be visible, only through Christ. And Christ himself may very well not be visible to a great extent, only in the saints. The world can only see God through Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. He that has seen me has seen the Father. But you cannot see the Father. You can only see Jesus. That's why I said, why do you want to see the Father? Here I am. Because the Father is dwelling in me. Now, as God and Christ come into the church in the end time, and this is what he's preparing us for, and this is why we must get all that is false cast out of us, religious delusion, sin and self. And hear me, young people, you've got a life ahead of you. If you spend it doing anything other than seeking the face of the Lord, you're going to miss your calling as a human being. You're going to try to be like people in the world, and you're not called. As I said, the people of the world are expendable. I gave Ethiopia for you. I gave Seba for you. I gave men for you. You are my witnesses. That's why we're called. All the world and nations roll, and people are born, and they die, and they're born. And while I've been preaching today, people have died by the hundreds of thousands. Never heard of God. Never knew God. A Christian church still in the mesh of mechanics trying to find out how to get the hang of the thing. Is it supposed to tell about God? Is it supposed to rest? Is it supposed to work? Is it supposed to make money? Is it supposed to beat the other competition, the other denominations? What are we doing? And the world lives and dies, burning up in the oil fields as one nation bombs another. And all they've heard is demon doctrines. God is hidden. And many of those people are far more religious than we are. You want to be religious. I saw the picture of the FBI trying to get the Iranians out of our country. They had to wait. They're sitting in chairs around the room while the Iranians are on their face on their prayer shawl. Who's the religious? Who's seeking after God? Who doesn't care what you think, but flops on his face on a prayer shawl? Would an American do that? He would not. He doesn't want to look like a fool. But those people with the little light they have of God, which is religious delusion, care so much they could not care less what you think. They're on their face on the prayer shawl. Listen, God sees that. God has not called you and me to live the good life. Whether we do or not, it's completely immaterial. There's no joy in it anyway. That's why the rich commit suicide. We are called for one purpose. Be. You are. And God is going to bring you through the water. Why? To get rid of Antichrist. To get rid of King Self. To get rid of sin, Satan. To get rid of religious delusion. Because when you're hanging on by a gnat's whisker, all the fancy doctrine doesn't mean much. You begin to get your shoes off, your religious shoes off, and you get your feet on the ground, and you say, God, help me or I'll die. And that day you don't care whether Saturday is the Sabbath day or who, what, or how, or when. All you care about is I'm a human being and God. And God says, just now you're not talking delusion. Now you're talking like a person that I created you in my image. And I don't want your help. I want you. Because I am not going to make you the morning star. I'm going to give you the morning star. So that it's no longer you, but Christ. He's the only true revelation of God. And the church just eclipses the world's view of the only true testimony of the invisible God. And John 17:21 shows us that the world probably will not see Jesus, only us. They'll see his sign. It says they shall look on him whom they have pierced. But you know, there's something in John 17:21. It says that they may be one in us, that the world may believe. You know why the world will believe? In John 17:21, because they will see the glory of God in you. And when they see that, then they'll know that God has loved you as he loves Christ. How could they know it unless they see him in you? So we are heading toward the true witness, the day star that will herald the day of God. And all these centuries have resulted in man going to and fro, but now God is coming to enter in to your life. Not to make you a religious person, but to make you a vessel to bear the witness, to bear the testimony. We need to give our lives to this end. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you and you alone and none other is the faithful and true witness. And Lord, we are born into this world and we grow up and we're educated and we have 50 goals, Lord, all of which flame with splendor, and we're sure we'll be happy. And then, Lord, as we live our life, we find out one by one they do not bring happiness. Neither sin, nor religious delusion, nor freedom to have our own way brings happiness. Oh God, cause us this day to take a step forward in the knowledge that we have not been created for those things, but to be the witness of the invisible God, that all of the creation might behold God in Christ, in us, and that seeing us, they might see God, hear God, and observe God. Oh, Father, we're nothing but the ground, the dust. Lord, it's taken us a lifetime to learn this. Cause us, Lord, to live today by your life and to suffer your dealings with the understanding that they are to make us weak so that the testimony may be perfected. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us on this day in October, Lord. We praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.